double take, critical, sometimes confrontational, but always amusing conversations about movies. Double Take is a cinema classics podcast produced by John DeSando.
I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Mindy McFan.
And this is Double Take.
Good.
And boy, we have a classic chain here.
Yes, yes. From way back.
I mean, back when I was born, Disney had Pinocchio.
Yeah, and it was before that.
And I will tell you, I don't know of many animations that have endured the way Disney's original has.
Yes, absolutely.
And I couldn't count the iterations of that.
There's so many, foreign and American.
And two that I know of this year, Zemeckis, Robert Zemeckis.
Right. Is that the one with Tom Hanks?
Exactly. For my taste, just a little bit bland. And then a new one by Guillermo del Toro.
Yes. Who I love.
Of Pan's Labyrinth. Wow.
I love him.
I know. He is so imaginative. Well, so when he takes all that wildness and brings it to the Pinocchio legend, based upon an 1883, well, it's actually a serial and not a book.
Right.
Adventures of Pinocchio.
Right.
How does it go? How'd it go? When you saw it yesterday, right?
Yes. Yes. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know how far it was going to go. You know, I mean, I looked up ahead of time, so I knew the original storyline by the writer. So I knew, because I thought it was going to be like Grimm's Fairy Tales, where, you know, we have our Cinderella, and then the Cinderella where the stepsisters are cutting their toes off to fit their shoes in. So I thought it was going to go to an original macabre kind of...
Yeah, a Tim Burton-ish approach.
Or even blacker than that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that was the way I was thinking, and It was a little bit of both.
Okay. In what way? That interests me because I have some reservations about it. Go.
Yeah. Well, one thing was hard for me is I felt like it didn't go either way. I thought it was going to go off into this kind of very serious because there's fascism in it and stuff. And so I thought it was going to be very illustrative of maybe the tipping point of so many democracies in the world right now. And so I thought it was going to be really that. And then it veered over into this sentimentality. And I felt like it never went all the way one way or all the way the other way.
That's a great analysis. my reservation was the fascism. Yeah, and the setting in 1940s Italy. Now, they couldn't have known that Italy was going to be going back toward fascism when the recent election.
Right.
So they could have known that, but still, it's kind of unfortunate. But I agree about the sentimentality. This story almost begs of it. You've got this poor guy who lost his son, and then he creates this puppet to kind of take the place of that 10-year-old son that he had, and it's just going to reek of sentimentality.
Right.
Now, I like the fact that Del Toro also, as Zemeckis did, not as much Zemeckis, but Del Toro did, emphasized the drunkenness, you know, the despair that he had that drove him to be a drunk. I thought that was very, very realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it also explained, because this is silly when you suspend your disbelief, but I mean, he had to be drunk when he made Pinocchio, because I'm like, this is a craftsman, and he makes this really shoddy wooden boy. I was like, why is he so poorly made? I mean, even when his legs got messed up, he just wrapped him up, and I was like, this is the guy who's carving a crucifix in a church.
Yes.
And then when he does his little boy, it's all, you know, shoddy workmanship.
Yeah,
That's an aside. I don't know why.
No, it's all square and pine.
Yeah.
And it has little branches coming out of it. It's not perfect at all. Yes,
no, it's not carved.
It's an odd creation.
Yes.
But anyway, yes. So he, out of his despair, he creates this. And then some magic fairy comes along. And who else but Tilda Swinton, right?
Would
you get anybody else? and she makes him alive. And then it goes on from there. But my reservation was that milieu that Del Toro put it in. And you alluded a bit to the, you know, democracies, the challenges to democracies, particularly fascism does. And I thought maybe because this Pinocchio is so rebellious and so questioning and so curious that he's a nice antidote to the rigors of fascism. And that's So that was what I was trying to understand right. why he did. It was right. a serious business. You have fascists there with their arms in the air. Mm-hmm. You have Il Duce, mm-hmm. and he doesn't like puppets. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, how about you? How did that strike you?
Now, I agree with you. That arc to me wasn't complete.
Yes.
There wasn't, here is fascism, it's horrible, here is how it was fought. As opposed to, here is fascism, and now we're going to veer off and talk about love and father-son stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt like there were two different storylines, and one wasn't started, and well, I guess it was, but one wasn't completed, I guess is a better way of putting it. It didn't go all in, because I think... You obviously, there's so many things about corrupt government and people being lemmings to horrible people that is very important right now. But it didn't finish. It started with this kind of blackness and this scary kind of trope of bombs dropping on children and everything, and then veered off that, you know, fathers and son love each other no matter if they're imperfect. And I was like, well, yeah, it didn't, I just didn't think it completed it.
And you know, you're making me think that perhaps Del Toro was interested in commenting on current alt-right movements, even here.
Yeah.
That are fascist.
Yes.
And there, yeah, that might have been his reason for this, but boy, he did not complete that at all.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, he threw it in there and expected you to make an allegorical interpretation that was asking way too much unless you and I sit here thinking about it and finally come to terms with it.
Yeah, because mostly what they talked about, what the theme of the movie became is accepting imperfection.
Yes.
A much more simplistic theme, which is fine.
Yeah.
I wish it had been one or the other.
Yeah, you're right. And there is something today about accepting people for who they are.
Yes.
Which is a big deal.
It sure is.
And this is a good point of view to take with this. And perhaps Del Toro just is too smart or too bright or too creative to narrow down to a particular theme or two. Maybe he just wants the world. He wants to get the world.
Yeah.
So what's good about this?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the stop motion is fascinating.
Isn't it?
I mean, it you can feel the texture of everything. The texture was just, ooh, so good.
Trying to understand what the allure is for that, and you've said it. Apparently, with stop motion, even better than actors, you can get down to the finest point mm-hmm. in a person's, in that character's expression.
Mm-hmm.
And you can control that.
Yeah.
And apparently this is what stop motion is, the allure for a director who wants to control everything.
Is control.
Is control.
Which is an allure for a lot of people.
And I think Polar Express was one that I liked. I thought it worked out pretty well.
I also, I mean, if I were a director or something, you'd want to do different things, you know? So I can understand wanting to try different art forms and just delve into the color and all of the things that go with that and the unbelievable patience I can't even fathom it would take to do that.
How about, let's say, enduring characters like Jiminy Cricket? How is this one?
Okay, I'm going to admit something about both I had trouble with the English accents. It bothered me they didn't have Italian accents. It distracted me. I had to talk myself through that, but I wanted them all to have Italian accents. I wanted to feel the Italianness of it.
Yeah,
the Italianness felt like it was an other. Like the town was Italian, but their family, their group wasn't. And I thought that was an odd choice.
And I have 2 points about that. The first one is usually I don't expect actors or even characters like this to speak in an accent if they can't do it well.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I don't.
I agree.
And it would be the same as a stage presentation. Mm-hmm. They don't have to imitate it if they can't do it well. Don't bother.
Right.
I got it.
Right.
And secondly, it is distracting, isn't it? Now, there are plenty of actors who can have a discernible accent.
Right.
So I don't know why they didn't do that, make it neutral, if they're not going to do the Italian.
Well, because if I define neutral by American.
I know it.
I presume Guillermo del Toro does not define neutral that way.
I knew you'd catch me on that one. Yes.
But it was, I agree with you. It doesn't usually bother me.
Yeah.
I think because it was animated, it bothered me because there wasn't the distraction of real people. So the voices become more important.
Yes.
And that's why it distracted me, mm-hmm, I think.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. But the stop motion was beautiful. And the music felt a little, felt pushed in too.
Boy, I mean, get rid of it. Yeah. I didn't think it was memorable at all.
Nor did it add anything.
I know, it did not. And they had these little ditties planted there. Why bother to call it a musical? That's not.
Well, and it also added to that sentimentality and, you know, having, you know, fascism and little lilting songs was odd.
Mindy, I wondered what you thought, whether in fact you can remember well enough the Zemeckis from earlier part of this year, the one with Tom Hanks as Geppetto.
Mm-mm.
Did you see it?
No.
Oh, okay.
I didn't.
Okay. Because I thought they overplayed the business about the carnival and the draw, but made a really good point about popular culture and about fame.
Yeah.
And that they were luring Pinocchio into that carnival by a promise of fame, mm-hmm. which seemed to be a very current problem.
Absolutely.
Given social media and the prominence of all that.
Yeah.
That didn't seem so much this time.
No. No, it seemed like the guy that owned the carnival was just another villain.
Yes, right.
Yeah. More than that.
And who was that? That's somebody famous. Hold on. Let's see here. That's got to be... Oh, gosh. Well, we know Kate Blanchett is the voice of Spassatura.
Mm-hmm.
This is that the little monkey type, goblin.
Yep.
And then...
There were a lot of bad guys.
Right, yes. Well, we have Ron Perlman as Podesta.
Mm-hmm.
I know, Count Volpe, who is the impresario of the carnival.
Yes, yes.
Who better than Christoph Waltz?
God, I love him.
I do too.
Isn't he wonderful?
And he is less menacing, even though he's ugly, but he's less menacing than the Zemeckis one.
Right.
And I found him not quite as villainous as he could have been.
Well, when you're comparing him to Mussolini, you know what I mean? I think it's all relative. And he wasn't the pointed villain,
right,
you know?
Right.
Again, compared to Mussolini, everybody would have to dim short of Hitler.
Now we have a Geppetto. Well, we have Cricket. We already talked about Cricket, Ewan McGregor.
Mm-hmm.
And I found this Cricket with Ewan McGregor, while his voice is beautiful, to be less witty than the original.
Yeah, yeah. He filled a different purpose. The fact that he kept getting smashed down and kept getting up.
Oh, right, right.
But I didn't feel an empathetic connection.
Exactly.
You know, like that Jiminy Cricket was this, the happy moment.
Yes.
The happy kind of sarcastic, maybe, but the little sprite of it.
Oh, yes.
And that wasn't this case.
No, it wasn't at all. I think that was a misstep on it.
Mm-hmm.
I think they kind of didn't think about the importance. He's the narrator.
Right.
And he's going to give some humor to this because it's really a humorless story.
Yeah.
And I didn't find any of that, though they had a perfect voice with Ewan McGregor.
Mm-hmm.
But they did. And maybe because... we just don't have When You Wish Upon a Star.
Oh,
I know. And there you go, our point about the forgettable music in this.
Yeah.
How about Disney creating that music?
Yeah.
I mean, using it even, don't they, as their theme?
I think so.
I mean, when they have the castle.
It's been a few years, but yeah.
No, I mean, when they have the castle.
Oh, yeah. Now, yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And yeah. So it's, this is, yeah. This is like Somewhere Over the Rainbow. This is just...
It's a beautiful song.
Yeah, it's a beautiful lot. And so therefore, this one really falls down for that.
Well, it almost felt like it was three different movies.
Wow,
there
yeah.
was kind of a movie about the politics, a movie about accepting people as they are.
Yes.
And a light little fairy tale music.
Yes.
Musical.
Yeah.
And it never... was completely any of those.
But you know, Mindy, there certainly is a difference between the Disney and this. I keep using that, but mm-hmm. the Disney is the litmus test for me.
Right.
Because I think it's been so powerful in our culture.
Right.
The puppet in Disney mm-hmm. is a cute, mm-hmm. roundish.
Got clothes. Got a hat.
and you did your best with your description of this wooden.
Yeah.
And I, again, I keep thinking about you're bringing that topic up and something that struck me, too. This is really a homely puppet.
Yeah, and barely carved.
Yeah.
I mean, his hair is just the leftover from a stump.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not carved. And this is, I don't know if that was supposed to represent that he was drunk when he made him, or that parents... don't get to create their children in their image. I don't know if that had any representation for anything or any meaning, or if it was just some aesthetic choice.
Well, in an allegorical sense, I think it's possible to show that it's emerging.
Mm-hmm.
He is not yet a boy. He is going to be a boy. He does become a boy? No. In this?
He does become a real boy, but he still would. I didn't understand that either.
Oh, good. Yes, yes. So I thought that maybe as an emerging human being, he would be changing. But mm-hmm. it doesn't appear that that's going to happen at all. I don't see any change.
No.
You even have the nose that looks like a carrot.
Yeah. He didn't even get shorts when he was a real boy.
Well, Mindy, I know we have some audience members there who are interested into whether they should... they could take their child to Del Toro's Pinocchio. Tell me, you're a woman who teaches kids, so I'm very interested in your opinion about this.
Well, I always like safe fear for kids. Okay. I think it's good for them, the whole thing. But it just depends on your kid and your opinions on those things. I think kids handle these things pretty well. But, I mean, my brother freaked out when Bambi's mother died.
And yeah.
There is a kid that dies in this, you know.
Yes.
Has a bomb drop on him.
Yes.
And you just got to know your kid and what you're comfortable with.
And I would agree that with a precocious kid or mm-hmm. with a kid who is open mm-hmm. to this kind of a movie, I don't see a real problem.
Mm-mm.
And I'm the worst person to comment on this is I let my kids see anything.
I agree. That was my one rule. You could watch or read anything.
Yes.
Yep, I agree.
They seem to turn out fine for it. But yes, so a parent needs to make that judgment.
Mm-hmm.
There are sites that will tell you how much violence and swearing and all that occur in movies.
Right.
I think one of my colleagues is... Kids on Mind, I think. Kids in Mind, yeah. And you go to that site, you can see, they break it down into everything, so you mm-hmm. can get some idea.
Mm-hmm.
But really, what they need to do is ask somebody like you mm-hmm. who knows this age level and knows how to advise. And I got to say, yeah, it's possible to see it. It's possible to compare with that original Disney. And again, I mentioned that puppet. The difference in the puppets is the difference between the two approaches. The original is benign.
Mm-hmm.
Compared with this one.
Absolutely.
But it doesn't make this invaluable.
No. No, and a kid who has an artistic impulse, this would probably be very interesting for them.
Oh, yeah, good.
Because this is adaptable to graphics and all kinds of things. So.
Yeah. Oh, Mindy McFan, I knew you were the right one to co-host with me. I knew it. I think Del Toro.
Your nose is growing, John.
I know it. And it's the thing about getting old. It does grow. That and the ears grow.
Yep.
Apparently nothing else does. But
it's just evil. Well,
that's nature's cruelty.
It is.
And the eyes never grow. And so anyway, so Del Toro's Pinocchio, I think we're both advising astute listeners to take their kids, if they believe their kids are advanced enough intellectually to see it. And as we like to do, and part of the purpose of our show is to compare and contrast.
Mm-hmm.
This is art.
Yep.
You don't just come to it once. you know, you're coming to it, as for me, a lifetime, and for you, a lifetime, when we look at the importance of a fable like Pinocchio.
And yay, Guillermo del Toro, for pushing boundaries.
He's good, dude.
Yeah.